You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Homies. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. Hey, I want to give a shout out to all my homies in Coshocton, in Millersburg, in Worcester, in Canton, and in Dover. You know, I'm excited that you're here. You know, we're kicking off a brand new series called Homies. And you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, homies are the people that you roll with. Homies are the people that you do life with. They're the people that you spend time with. At least you need to spend a lot of time with them. It's your crew. And the fact of the matter is, we're all somebody's homies. And so though we're talking about homies, a new level of family, it includes all of us. Because really what it boils down to is relationships. Relationships. It's the people that you roll with. It's the people that you do life with. And what I want us to understand today is this fact. You will never be happier. You will never be happier than the state of your relationships. Relationships are everything. And if you're going to go to a whole new level in your family or just with your homies, you're going to have to concentrate on relationships. We got to be able to develop and cultivate healthy relationships. And that's what we want to talk about today. Because no matter what you own, no matter what you experience, no matter what you have, relationships are what really ultimately count. And most people would say this, you know what, Dwight, I wish my relationships were better. I wish my relationships were healthier. I wish my relationships were stronger. And so here's what we're going to do. Every weekend, what we're going to do is we're going to come back, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you counsel. I'm going to give you counsel from the one who created you and the one who knitted you together in your mother's womb. And he knows the most about relationships because he's the one who created you and I and created you and I to have relationships. And so we're going to talk about how to have satisfying relationships with the people in our lives. You see, what happens is we have to come to grips with the fact that there's nothing more important than relationships. Absolutely nothing. And Jesus tells us that. You know, Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? Basically, he was asked, what is life all about? When you boil it down, what is life all about? And here's how he responded. He said, it's to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. He says it's to have a relationship with God that's vibrant and alive. And that's why here at New Point, our mission is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. How do you have a dynamic personal relationship with God? And then he goes on to say this. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so when Jesus is asked the question, what's the bottom line in life? He basically said, it's relationships. It's relationships. And so that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about that. Now, what happens is this. Relationships can turn into tasks and duties and responsibilities quick. Would you agree with me? I mean, we can get married and we can be in love, and then what happens is if we're not careful, it can just be relegated to roles and responsibilities. And the same thing with our kids. And the same thing with our friends. And we live in that and we lose the dynamic of what God has for us because we've regulated it just to rules and responsibilities. And it's much, much more than that. And so we want to talk about that today. You see, God would say this to you and me, that my family is my calling. God would say to you and I, my homies, all right, got it? My homies are my calling. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, he says that we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And we need to love our neighbor, our homies, as ourself. And so Paul, the writer in Ephesians, he echoes this when he says this. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. What's the calling that we have received? The calling that we have received is to be able to be in relationship with God and with one another. Now, we all have a calling in our life. You see, listen, mom, dad, you have a calling. And say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me give you an example, okay? Have you ever been at a store, all right, and you've watched an interaction between maybe a mom and a child or a dad and a child, and it's not pleasant? You know, you're kind of embarrassed, and maybe your blood pressure starts to rise. Maybe there's a little bit of abuse there. And what do you say? What do you think? Here's what goes through our minds many times. They're not worthy to be a parent. Can you believe that they're a parent? There are people in our world who are not able to have kids. And here you have somebody who has kids, and you know what? They're abusing them. They're neglecting them. They're not worthy to have kids. And what Paul is saying here is this. He's urging everyone here today, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. The calling of being a dad, the calling of being a mother, a calling of being a sister, a calling of being a brother, or a son, or a daughter, or a friend, or how about this, a homie. All right, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling of being a homie, being faithful, being loving, being kind with the people that you roll with, the people that you do life with. Now, the only way that we're going to be able to fulfill this is if it becomes a priority in our life. If it becomes a priority for me and a priority for you. Now, I know how we roll with this, all right? You see, everybody claims to put a high priority on things that we say that we love and that we desire. But in real life, it doesn't work that way, does it? You know, we say we love this, we say we want this, we say that we desire it, and yet what happens is when it comes to flushing it out in real life, our time, our efforts are not invested in that. It's something that we desire, but it's not something that we prioritize for. And the only way that you and I are going to go to a whole new level as a family or as a friend or as a father or a mother or a brother or a sister is to be able to understand the power of priorities. The power of priorities. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want to share with you what I believe are four main priorities that we need to have in our homes if our family is going to go to a whole new level. And by the way, again, don't check out on me because we're all homies, okay? We all have people that we roll with in life. And this is true for every relationship that we have. And so let me give them to you today. Here's the first one. We have to prioritize to train. We have to prioritize to train. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I believe about any organization. Every organization, if it's going to be healthy, and if it's going to be strong, and if it's going to be productive, has to be a growing, learning organization. You have to constantly be learning. You have to constantly be growing. Whatever organization it is, whether it's a church, whether it's a business, you ready for this? Whether it's a family. Because what happens is, if you're not learning and growing, we become boring. We become boring. We get stuck. And many times what happens in our family is we get stuck because we're not learning and we're not growing because we haven't prioritized training. Now, what we have to see is that Jesus himself, God in the flesh, exhibited this. Let's look at this scripture here. Here's what he says in Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom, intellect, stature, physically, in favor with who? God, spiritually, and man, socially. What does that say to us? I mean, that says that Jesus himself, God in the flesh, made it a priority to grow and to develop. He just didn't exist. And so you and I, within our family, we have to prioritize training. Training. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, one of the wisest men in the world, Solomon, here's what he writes. He says, train up a child in the way in which he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, you acknowledge that he's unique or she's unique. And when he is old, he will what? He will not depart from it. And so what I would suggest to us today, that there's certain things that you and I should be training our children in our home. Now, here's the confusion that we have, all right? We think telling them is the same as training them. It's not. We think lecturing them is the same as developing them, and it's not. If you and I are going to train in our family, we have to make it a priority. It has to be intentional. And there are things that you will only learn in your home. You're not going to learn it at school. You're not going to learn at work. You better learn it at home. And if you learn it at home, then it sets your whole life on a good path, on a good course. And if you don't learn this at home, then you know what? You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a difficult time as an adult, because you're going to be behind the curve. Now, what are those things? Let me give you a few of them. The first one is this: feelings. I need to be trained in how do I handle my feelings, right? Because the fact of the matter is, we're all feeling oriented. We're all feeling oriented. And so I need to be trained in how do I handle my feelings? How do I deal with my emotions? You see, in a family that has this as a priority, you will learn how to identify your feelings. You'll learn how to own up to your feelings. You'll learn how to express your feelings. You'll learn how to deal with your feelings. And if you don't, listen to me very carefully. If you don't learn how to deal with your emotions and your feelings, you will go through life emotionally crippled. It will set you back. Because the fact of the matter is, we're emotional people. We have feelings. And the place for us to be able to learn how to deal with our feelings and how to deal with our emotions, and there's a wide, wide variety of them, it needs to be in the home. And so what happens is, we need to be able to train our kids this in this way. And so what we do is, we develop an environment that allows everyone to be honest. I'm mad at you, Dad. I didn't like what you asked me to do, Mom. And you give your kids permission to express their emotions. And through that, you're training them how to be able to deal with their emotions and their feelings. That's why it's not wise for you and I to tell our sons and our daughters, I want you to stop crying right now. That's not good training. Because when you and I tell our kids to stop crying right now, what we're saying is stuff your feelings and stuff your emotions. I don't want you expressing that in front of me. Y'all okay? And so what happens is we don't do a very good job of training. And they will stuff their emotions. And they will have problems with their emotions. Because they will learn that you can't be honest about your emotions. And here's what I would say. There's nothing wrong with crying. Big boys do cry. Okay? Matter of fact, you know what? Whenever I see a man cry, you know what it lets me know? He's in touch with his feelings. Listen to me. When's the last time you cried, Dad? When's the last time you cried as a man? You say, I haven't cried in a long, long time. Let me tell you, you're out of touch with your feelings. The man of all mans, Jesus, wept. He was moved with compassion. And we need to train our kids in this, okay? We need to train our kids. And maybe the reason why you haven't cried is because you didn't get this training in your household. And you know what? It's hurt you. How about this one right here? How about conflict, okay? How do I handle conflict? We need to train our kids on how to handle conflict. And if you don't learn this, you're going to have major, major issues in your marriage. Because what happens is, in marriage, it's all about clarifying, right? And resolving conflict. Because the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you're like me, I married somebody completely different than me. She thinks differently than me. And I think differently from her. And you know what that means? We have conflict. And so what happens is we have to be able to teach and train our kids how to handle conflict, how to be able to understand that it's part of life. And so they need to be able to see you and I working things out in front of them. They need to understand, okay, I know that mom and dad, they had some conflict, and this is how they solved it, and nobody died. And guess what? They're still committed together. Because the reason why many of us are afraid of conflict is because we've grown up in houses that experienced divorce, the tragedy of divorce. And so what happens is we say, if you have conflict, somebody's going to what? Lose. And if we train one another how to deal with conflict, nobody has to lose. You can have win-win, because the fact of the matter is the reason why we have conflict is because we don't understand one another. And the only way that we can get to understanding one another is to be honest enough about conflict. And so one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is to be able to train them in conflict. Our kids, you know, they grew up in school and they had issues with coaches. I never one time went to a coach. I coached our kids how to go to their coach. And I'd give them a 5x7 card and say, here's what you need to go do. Go do it. Go do it. And so what happens is I wanted to give them something that really I didn't get growing up. And I wasn't trained for conflict. I never saw conflict. And it hasn't served me well, okay? And so conflict. Let me give you another. Y'all okay, by the way? Okay, is this helpful? I hope it is, all right? Let me give you another one, losses. Losses. We have to train our kids how to handle losses or disappointments or setbacks or failures in life. Life is full of it. We live in a broken world. We live in a world of where things don't always go the way in which we want. And so what happens is for a kid to always win is really not preparing them for life. You know, I just watched the UConn women's basketball team get beat. They had a 111 game winning streak. And their coach, Gino, you know what he said to them after they lost? He went into the locker room because everybody was curious what he was going to say. Here's what he said to them. Ladies, now this is life. What we've been living in the last 2.5 years of going 111-0 is not life. Life is experiencing defeat and setbacks. And we will see what we're made of how we bounce back from this. You see, listen to me. One of the best things that you can teach your children is the characteristic of resilience. the ability to bounce back after a disappointment, ability to bounce back after failing, the ability to bounce back after being disappointed. Because listen to me, all of the great leaders in the world are not the smartest people. They're not the most gifted people. You know what they are? They're the most resilient people. They refuse to give up. Look at what Scripture has to say here. You might want to write this down. Proverbs 24:16. Though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Righteous. Who's the righteous? That's the person who gets things right. So even the person who is right with God and with other people still what? Fall. They still experience losses. They still experience defeat because we live in an imperfect world. So even if you do everything right according to your plan, you can still experience a loss. And yet he says that the righteous, what? They fall down and they rise again. They have resilience. Let me give you another one, values. Values. Would you agree with me that the world is teaching our kids some values that really aren't good? Absolutely, they are. And so what happens is you and I have to be intentional in being able to train them and develop them. And so we need to be able to do that. Let me tell you what the world is teaching your kids and my kids. That the three main things is sex, status, and salary. That's what they're teaching. It's in movies, it's in advertisement, it's all around us. And what happens is we have to train our kids in values. That's why it's so important. And here at New Point, you know what? This is why it's important that you're a part of the Rainforest and that you're a part of Velocity and that you're a part of Collective. Because one of the things that we want to team up with you is teaching your kids values so that they can spot inappropriate values that will take them down a wrong path. And they can say, no, these are the values that we want. And that needs to happen in the home. But we want to help you. We want to equip you. We want to encourage you in that. And then another one is habits. Just habits. And here's the reason why. Because habits deal with character. Okay? And we're all habitual people. We have habits in our life. And habits either serve us well, or you know what? They don't serve us too well. And so what we need to be able to understand is that we have to set as a priority training in our home. Training in our home. And that only happens by intentionality. It doesn't happen by telling. It happens by intentionality. Now, you might ask, okay, so Dwight, how do you do that? How do you train? Well, let me give you two positive and two negative. The first one is through example. It's through example. There's nothing more powerful than an example, okay? And the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he was probably one of the best trainers that's ever lived on planet Earth. Here's what he would say, follow me as I follow Christ. So one of the ways in which we train in the home, okay, is by our example. See, we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And so what happens is if you don't like what's going on in your kid's life, then look in the mirror, because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. They may just be following in your footsteps. You just can camouflage it better than they can, because kids expose us. And so through example, also through conversations. Through conversations. And that takes T-I-M-E, time. That's why you have to prioritize it. Here's what Moses told the people of Israel. He said, you must teach God's commandments to your children and talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. And so what happens is what he's saying is you and I must be constantly in conversation with our kids. I think I've read somewhere where the average father talks to their children about 35 seconds a day, face to face, with nothing else going on. No phone, no TV, nothing. 35 seconds. Wow. And so what happens is if we're not talking about sex, hello. If we're not talking about pornography, hello. If we're not talking about friendships, hello. If we're not talking about drugs, if we're not talking about alcohol, then what happens is we're leaving that to society. We're leaving that to other people. So we train through modeling, through our example, and through conversations. Let me give you two ways in which we need to avoid. Not through criticism. Not through criticizing. Okay? What happens is you and I will accomplish more through encouragement than through criticizing. What happens is, as they say, honey works better than vinegar. Would you agree with me? And it's the same way with your kids. It's the same way with everybody in your life. Here's what Paul would say in Ephesians. He says, don't keep on scolding and nagging or criticizing your children, making them what? Angry and resentful. Instead, bring them up with the loving training, there we go, and teaching of the Lord. And so don't do it through criticizing. Do it through encouraging. And then the second way in which we don't want to do it is through comparing. You see, listen, each and every one of us are unique. We're wonderfully and we're fearfully made. And we have to understand that. And so what happens is we all do a disservice to one another, whether it's our children, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our friends, when we compare. We think it's helpful, but it's not. It's harmful. It's hurtful. Paul would say this in Galatians. He would say, each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he can be proud for what he himself has done. You see, what happens is if we compare, two things happen. Either we become prideful or we become envious. And neither one of those are good. And they won't serve our kids very well. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to train, all right? Now, I want to share this quote with you because this will really give you the exclamation point on it. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. And the fact of the matter is, when that baby comes into your world, you know what? You have high expectations. But you know what? They're not going to rise to the expectation. They're going to fall to the level of training. And unless you and I make training a priority, it won't happen. Now, let me ask you a question. How would your life be different if you grew up in a home that trained you about your feelings, about conflict, about values, about habits? Most of us would say, you know what? I'd be in a different place. Life would be different for me. And it's not too late to do this with your kids, whether they're grown or not. And so I encourage you to make it a priority. Let me give you the second one. The second one is to have fun. To have fun. Home is not supposed to be boot camp. Yes, there's chores. Yes, there's responsibilities. And yes, there's duties. But the fact of the matter is, if that's all there is at home, then nobody's going to want to go home. So you got to have fun. You got to make it fun. What do they say? All work and no play is not good. And so you got to have fun. Look at what Solomon, the wisest man, and by the way, Solomon had everything in life. He had everything that you and I hope and desire, okay, and more. And here's what he says about fun. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives no matter how long they live. Enjoy their life every day. Why? Because you don't know when it's going to be your last day. You don't know when you're going to have the last day to spend with your son or your daughter, or your spouse, or your friends, or your family, because life is precious. He goes on to say this. He says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. So have fun with your wife, fellas. Hey, fellas, have fun with your wife, and let your kids see it. Let them see that. They need to see you enjoying her, because what happens is if they see you enjoying her, then you know what that brings into their life? Security and stability. And so have fun. You know, I'll never forget Patty telling me, she said, you know, some of our dinner time talk was potty talk in the house I grew up in. She grew up with three girls, and we've got four boys in our household. And so what happens is around our dinner table, we cut up and we laugh. And we just go at it. And I'm the ringleader, by the way, okay? If you haven't caught on yet. And so the fact of the matter is, I want our kids to be able to laugh. I want our kids to be able to enjoy life, because life can be hard and life can be difficult. And I want them to be able to want to come back and be able to say, hey, you know what? I know one thing. When we go home, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun. Solomon goes on to say this. He says, I recommend having fun. Think of that. I recommend having fun. That way you'll experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives you. You know why? Because life is hard. Life is challenging. Life is difficult. We have setbacks and we have disappointments. And he's saying, so I'm recommending that, you know what, you even plan to have fun. You plan those vacations. You plan those days. You plan those opportunities. And so what happens is, we need to be able to set as a priority to be able to train and to be able to have fun. Let me give you the third one. The third one is to care. Is to care. Now, I know we all say that we care, okay? But the fact of the matter is, we need to be intentional with how we care for one another. Because if we're not careful, we have good intentions, but we don't follow through. Paul told Timothy this to teach. He says, put your religion into practice by caring for your own family, for this is pleasing to God. You listen to me very carefully. The first place that you should receive care is not from the church. Y'all right on that one? The first place that you should receive care is from your home. From your homies. The people that you roll with, the people that you spend time with, the people that you do life with. And the only way that that can happen is if we have good relationships. And I think that there's three ways in which we can give and demonstrate care in an intentional way. The first one is through attention. Just by giving people attention, by setting aside the phone, by turning off the TV, and by looking into one another's eyes and being able to say, hey, you know what? You have my full attention. Because one of the ways in which we convey that we love people is by listening to them. And there's so many distractions there today to keep us from this. But attention. Another one is affection. Affection. And you say, well, Dwight, I didn't grow up in a family that expressed affection. Well, I feel sorry for you, because you missed out on a whole bunch. And affection is something that we have to prioritize. And so what happens is, one of the things that I try to practice is, when I get home, I try to connect with all of our kids, either through a fist or a hug or a kiss, or, you know, on the head there. I don't do that to Patty, but I even want to connect with her, because affection is something that we all need. We all desire. It makes us feel secure. It makes us feel wanted. And then the third one is affirmation, is just affirmation. And here's what I mean by affirmation: that you affirm their worth, that you affirm value to them. That it's a place of where you just affirm that they are wonderfully and fearfully made. And so what happens is, we have to be intentional with this. Otherwise, we're just passing one another by. Passing one another by. And what happens is, my heart longs for all three of these. And yours does too. And so what happens is, we have to prioritize. How can I demonstrate care? Care. Paul goes on to say this to Timothy in giving him instructions. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's why. And so we have to care for one another. We have to protect one another. And when he says provide, it's more than just shelter and food and clothing. That's good. That's a start. That's a start. But most of us don't leave home saying, you know what, I wished we lived in a better house. I wished I had better clothes. I wished I would have had better food. You know what we say? I wished our relationships were better. I wish they were stronger. That's what we end up saying. Let me give you this final one, and it's serve. Serve. We need to be able to make serving a priority. See, here's the thing I know about all of us, okay? We want our family to be great. We don't want our family to be average. And Martin Luther King said it this way. He says, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You want kids who are great? See, we focus on throwing a football. We focus on hitting a ball. We focus on shooting a ball. And the fact of the matter is, nothing wrong with that. Or playing a piano. And we're saying, I hope my kid becomes a great singer or a great athlete. You know what? Very unlikely that they will. The percentages are very, very, very low. But you know what? If you prioritize serving, there's a high probability that they will be great. Look at what Jesus has to say. Jesus says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And so if we can make it a priority that, you know what, as a family, we're going to serve. That's why we encourage you to do that here at New Point. That's why in student ministry, we have student impact. And we encourage our high schoolers to serve an hour on Sunday morning because we know that it will serve them well. And we encourage you to serve as parents. That's why we have Feed My Starving Children. I trust that you were a part of that. That's why we have Seeds. That's why we have Community Impact Day. Because it's a way in which you can help your sons and daughters and even yourself to develop a servant's heart, because you can become great if you will serve. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above what? All else, and live righteously. Means get along with people. And here's what he says will happen. And he will give you everything you need. Wow. You know, there's probably two things that a parent wants for their kids. For them to be great and to have the assurance that their needs will be met in life. And God's given us the way to do that. Serve other people and serve God. And when you serve God, what he says is, and you live righteously, he will give you everything you need. Listen to me. If our kids leave home without understanding that and making that a part of their life, they will never have everything that they need. Matter of fact, you know what they'll have? They'll find themselves financially strapped because they'll think that the next purchase is the thing that will meet their need. And so there'll be two of them working, and then two of them moonlighting, and two of them thinking, you know what, if we can just get there, if we can just do that, then you know what, we'll be satisfied. And you know what, when you feed an appetite, all it does is become larger and larger and larger. So homies, you want to take your family to another level? You need to set some priorities in your life. You need to say, you know what, we're going to train in our house. You know what else we're going to do? We're going to have fun. You know what else we're going to do? We're going to learn to care for one another. And not just care for ourselves, but we're going to learn to care for other people by serving. And today you can put a stake in the ground, no matter where you're at, by doing what Joshua said. And here's what he said. Choose today whom you will serve. For as me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The Lord. Would you pray with me? Maybe today the first step that you need to take is to make God a priority in your life. You say, Dwight, how do I do that? Well, by beginning a relationship with Him. And you can begin a relationship with God, the one who created family, ordained family. And you can just say this simple yet life-transforming prayer. God, as much as I know how and understand, I want to serve you. And I ask you to come into my life, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and make me the man, the woman that you want me to be, so that I can live life and life to the fullest. And if you'll do that, God will do something tremendous in your life. For others of us, it may mean that we just need to determine some priorities. We've been distracted and we've drifted from that which is most important. Maybe today you need to come back and say, God, with your help and with your strength, I want to be able to set some priorities and align myself with them so that I can take my family, I can take my homies, to a whole nother level. And so, God, we thank you for today. We love you. We thank you for your wisdom and your counsel. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.